Hi, we're Visible, the wireless company with nothing to hide. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not into you. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
What's going on, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm David.
And this week, we've got a lot to talk about. So David's filling in for Andrew. We're going to talk about MacBook Air M2, Pixel 6a, some gadgets of the week, but also how Hyundai's been low-key killing it with design lately. Yeah. Or maybe high-key, actually.
Yeah.
And we also got a little bit of a sneak peek about what a mid-range Surface Duo could look like. But first, let's talk about the gadgets, because there are so many. Actually, before we talk about the gadgets, I want to apologize.
Oh.
I want to give an apology, because ever since we did trivia last week, in which both Andrew and I failed to know that Trinitron was the name of this display technology from the 80s, I have never seen more tweets at the Waveform Twitter about how they were screaming internally about how could we not know what Trinitron was. So I apologize for putting you through that stress. And I will now never forget the name.
Yeah. Can we just have a moment of silence for Ellis? Because we were laughing at him saying it was a ridiculous question.
As we recorded it, we were like, Ellis, that was a pretty ridiculous question. But now that we saw the tweets and everybody responding, it turns out we were being ridiculous.
Yeah.
We didn't know. We should have known.
We're just out of touch.
That's our bad on that.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about MacBook Air. MacBook Air M2, the review is now finally out. We know what we're getting into with the MacBook Air. Do you have any hot takes or any thoughts on the MacBook Air now that it's out?
Yeah. I mean, I've used it a little bit now, and I like the shape overall, obviously, because their move to that flat design is nice. It sort of feels like a mini MacBook Pro. Like
exactly.
A newer MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
But I will say I do kind of miss the wedge a little bit, just because it gave you a slight angle to your hands, which was nice.
Yeah.
But obviously the new screen is way better. All these things are way better. But again, a little bit deceptively expensive, because you don't want to buy that base model because it only has one 256 gigabyte chip instead of two 128 chips that can work in parallel.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people sort of missed that, but that was kind of one of the biggest points of the review, which is the M1 MacBook Air was amazing. It was $1,000. And that was like, I feel like that was the most universally recommended computer for like 2 years straight.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, yeah, this computer is great at this price. It's $1,000. It's very competitive. Go for it. So now this is the upgraded version of that. But anytime you see Apple like leave the old version in the lineup, you always wonder like, okay, what are they doing with pricing here?
Yeah.
So they left that at $1,000. You can find it on like Amazon or Best Buy, I'm sure, for like $899 or something. But now the MacBook Air M2 starts at $1,200. And that base version has 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage.
Yeah.
A $1,200 computer should not have 256 gigs of storage,
that's
right?
Like a phone or an iPad or something.
It's pretty disappointing. But even at that price, not only is it not a lot of storage, but it is particularly slow storage. So like you said, it's using a single SSD chip instead of two in parallel, which would be faster. And so you end up with this like half read, half write speed that kind of gets annoying when you get into memory swap territory.
Memory, yeah.
You got a bunch of Chrome tabs open. You know what they do with RAM and Chrome. Like, you start to slow down. You realize that's not performing the way it usually does. And we actually noticed this using it. So I highly, highly recommend upgrading from that base to getting at least the 512 gigs of storage.
Yeah. I mean, I would do that anyway, because 256 on a laptop is just
there's
not,
just so many reasons to upgrade. So that puts you at 1400.
Yeah.
And that's still with the 8 gigs of RAM. Maybe you bump up the RAM. Maybe you want to bump up the GPU or whatever, but that's at least 1400. And that's, I would think about this laptop as a minimum $1,400 laptop.
Yeah.
Now it's not so easy. Like $1,000, if you have $1,000 to spend, you might still be fine getting the M1 MacBook Air. Right. You're missing out on the new design and MagSafe and the fast charging and maybe the extra port now that MagSafe opens that up. But yeah, it's a pretty good computer for the price still. Nothing about that changed.
Yeah, the M series chips are still amazing. I think I saw a lot of comments being like, oh, everyone was saying the M chips are so amazing last year, and now they're like kind of being negative about M2 chips. It's like, when you make a giant generational leap like that, obviously every year after that, it's going to be like kind of slow increments.
Yeah.
But the GPU increases are pretty sick.
Yeah.
Alone.
So. One of my favorite takes about this laptop, because I sort of opened the review talking about how this is the first one that's designed around Apple Silicon. Like, we had the old body with the Intel MacBook Air, and then we put M1 inside. Now this is all designed around the chip. I feel like we now realize that the 12-inch MacBook was ahead of its time.
Just
a little bit ahead of its time, because they tried to put an Intel chip in there, and the 12-inch MacBook makes the new MacBook Air look big. Like, this is a very small, thin, ultra-portable laptop, and I want to see that reincarnated with an M1 chip. I feel like that would actually be a really good machine.
Yeah. If you've used the new MacBook Pros, like the 14-inch and the 16-inch, and then you use a MacBook Air M2, it is weirdly thin because it's like the same shape, but it's like half the height. It's really weird.
Yeah. It's like a little shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Exactly.
So I'm a fan. I think go watch that review. It's got a lot of good things going for it. But obviously, keep that price in mind and keep that, you know, that
also
Delta.
The fingerprints. When we were going through the comments section, man, trying to find the most asked questions, everyone was talking about the fingerprints.
Like, we were originally going to try to do like a sort of a Q&A style review.
Right.
And it turned out that most of the questions that people were asking were pretty easily answered in the normal review.
Yeah.
And then the extra bits were just like, can you guys like talk about the fingerprints and like how bad that is?
Yeah.
It was annoying. We were shooting in like B-roll out in the open, and Brandon was getting a shot of the back of the computer as I was using it. He's like, oh, let me just wipe it off real quick. I was like, nope, can't wipe it off. We got to show it the way it actually looks in the real world, which is it's going to look like
anytime
this.
Anytime you pick it up.
As soon as you touch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, MacBook Air. It's out there now.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this Surface Duo? I sure. saw the headline. I did not read the article, so maybe you can fill me in on what this is.
Yeah, so there was a potentially cheaper Surface Duo that was supposed to launch, I think, in 2022, but they canceled the project last year in 2021. It was going to be made of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the build quality of the Surface Duo is pretty good because it's this weird, like, glass...
It's a glass
and
sandwich.
Sort of metal with this weird, interesting hinge. And that device...
Accurate. Very accurate right there. That device, ...
It's just like fundamentally, in my opinion, it feels fundamentally bad because the aspect ratio is too wide to when it's like folded over itself to hold with one hand.
Right.
It's a weird tallness. When you have it open, you have to hold it with two hands. That means you have to have big bezels because your fingers are going to go. It's just, it was already weird. And it was like $1,400 when the first one launched. It was like insanely expensive. So now they're like, I guess they were planning on making a cheaper one, but I'm assuming.
How much cheaper?
The original Surface Duo got down to like $450.
Unintentionally.
On sale. Yeah. So I would have imagined this probably would have sold for like 900 or 1,000, maybe 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I was reviewing this, the original Surface Duo, I dropped it once and it completely shattered. And that happened to multiple other people too.
Woof.
So maybe a plastic design actually would have been more rugged.
Yeah, that's
so
funny. Do you think the Surface Duo as a form factor is doomed? Like you're saying, like the aspect ratio, right? Like all the foldables have to deal with this thing where you need it to be a good phone unfolded and a good phone folded.
Right.
And you get phones like the Galaxy Fold, which is like, it's kind of tall and thick like a candy bar. It's a little bit worse as a normal phone, but then you open it and it's way better.
Right.
Then you get the Huawei's of the world. The Surface Duo maybe being the worst version of this compromise where it's kind of bad at both.
Yeah.
Is it like not worth trying this version again?
The weird thing about the Duo is that it it works like a book, right? Like a book that you take around with you, you don't use the front of the book. You don't care about the front of the book. You just open it and then you only use it in this two-handed mode. Mm-hmm. And that's the aspect ratio that it's in. And so they tried to make it usable with one screen by folding it around itself. But when they made the second Surface Duo, they added the bump in the camera module, which made it not even fold flush around itself. So then you've got this like really weird like shape, and holding it with one hand is difficult as it is. And I don't know. I mean, I have heard a lot of people who, now that it's like $400 on the used market and also like on sale every now and then, it's a really great Kindle reader. If you want an Android-based Kindle that has two pages accessible, and apparently the digitizer is less terrible now, and you can actually use the device, could be a good Kindle reader. But it had a lot. Yeah, I don't know. When I was reviewing the 1 and 2, it was like the glitchiest phone I had ever used in my life.
Same. Yeah. I specifically mentioned that. I think the red flag was when the embargo was like, you can talk all about the hardware as much as you want.
No software.
It'll go on sale, and then you can talk about the
software. Yeah, that was like, that was when companies start using reviewers to their advantage, and I felt really uncomfortable about that whole situation.
Yeah, so the Surface, I don't know. It is kind of a romantic idea of just having a little pocket notebook around that's digital. And it's like a good modern version of that would be so nice.
Right.
Like, I really want that to exist.
Have you ever seen the movie Her before?
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. There's a device in that movie. It's like a retro futuristic movie. And there's a device. His phone is basically a Surface Duo. It's a little pocketbook that he only like, it almost looks like a passport, and he only opens it up when he wants to use it.
That's what it's the size of.
Yes.
It's a passport.
A passport. Yeah. And he can keep it in it. There's a part where he has it in his shirt pocket, and the camera is facing outward, and the AI can see his world, and he's kind of dancing around.
See?
It's like a very romantic idea.
It'd be cool if it worked like that.
Yes. From a usability idea, I don't know. I do like the idea. Like, something I liked about the Duo was that it was a very intentional device. When you close it, it is closed. You're not getting like ambient notifications that are like you're at dinner with somebody and you're like looking at it constantly.
Lighting up.
Yeah. You open it. Yeah. Light it up. You open it up. You do the things you need to do and you close it. And that is very romantic and cool. And I like that.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know. I mean, maybe if they could make one that is not so insanely glitchy. Sadly, Android 12L, which is like the more tablet, large phone oriented interface, came out way after these things came out. Right. So that was a problem. Like, Microsoft was trying to like put this layer on top of Android that made it see each screen as different screens.
Right.
But if you took a screenshot, it didn't show the hinge. So the device thought that it was a tablet. But then Microsoft's additional glitchy layer on top was trying to segment everything. And I don't know. I would like to see a non-glitchy version of this and then maybe be able to evaluate it.
Yeah, because I was inspired by the idea. You know how Panos inspires us with his general walkthroughs of like getting in flow and everything. Like, I saw him using it and I was like, yeah, dual screen phone.
Yeah.
That's going to make sense. I'm going to have my tasks on one side, my calendar on the other side. I'm going to have my Gmail on the left and my browser on the right. Like, I'm going to have a good time. Maybe one more try.
Yeah.
Surface.
And with the case, the flat pen can magnetically attach on the two. So like, I feel...
Didn't it accidentally do that on the first one? Kind of like loosely?
Yes.
It would like fall off after a while?
Yeah, because the hint, like when it closes, there's like a weak magnet that makes it close together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think that if it was not a phone, it would be better? Like if you just...
Don't.
That's really funny. That's... If you ask Microsoft, they don't refer to it as a phone.
No.
Right? Yeah, they're like,
it should be.
But it is. It's got your SIM card in it, and like you can do phone calls awkwardly on it if you want to. If they came out and they were like, here's our Surface Book, Surface Passport.
Like
Surface Passport.
No phone functionality, just like
I think there was Android tablet. There was a prototype that was supposed to be called the Surface Passport.
The Neo?
It was a different device.
That was a bigger one, I think. There was going to be a bigger one that's canceled too. I think because it runs Android, it gets the stigma of like, yeah, it's a phone. Even though we have Android tablets, like when you have a small Android device like that, you can use it with one hand. We just see it as a phone. And so you just start comparing it to phones and the experience is so much worse. So,
but then you get into the idea of like, what is a phone? Because any Android-based device can do the same thing that a pocketable phone can do, except possibly make phone calls.
Yeah, but the phone would be the primary device. If they didn't market this as the primary device, just like a secondary thing.
Well, they did. That's what they marketed it as.
They kind of did, but nobody took it that way.
Like, they kept saying it's not a... What Panos was saying, it's not a phone, it's a Surface. He said that 100 times over. Lauren Good had an article called like, don't call it a phone.
Yeah, but it...
And
they wanted it to be, though.
But it took a SIM card, and it was a small Android screen in your pocket.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think the fact that it fits in your pocket is just, people are just going to see it as a phone.
Oh, yeah. We skipped over the whole eBay thing, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did we find out about this potential mid-range version?
It popped up on eBay. This has been happening a lot recently,
it seems sounds like what would happen to a Pixel phone.
I think it did happen.
I think it has.
There was a guy that bought a Pixel, what he thought was a Pixel 6 Pro on like Craigslist, and ended up being a 7 Pro. Yeah. It's like, how does...
Sick. I don't know. So this is Microsoft. Yeah. So is it intentional? No, probably
not. It popped up on eBay, then got deleted, then got put back on eBay, and then I think that got deleted or something like that. I don't know.
Pretty
great. We were looking at the listing like yesterday, and it was only like $800, and Andrew and I were like, should we just buy this? Because like, this is like probably the price it would go for anyway, and it's like the only one on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Anyway.
Well, we'll come back to Surface. I think I'm going to give it one more shot. I think, well, not me. I think the world's going to give it one more shot.
Yeah.
I think if we get a really, really impressive Surface in this form factor, then we can accept that this was a good thing to try. But if we get another Surface and it's also really bad and annoying to use, then it probably won't get another
one. What I would love to see? You know how the Razer, when it folds, there's like that, the teardrop part of the folded screen kind of like goes into the hinge?
Yeah.
If Microsoft could do that with this device, where when you open it up, it's straight up a tablet, mm-hmm. and then the software could segment it into two screens, but it was one continuous display,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll then you could fold it over itself too, maybe. I don't know.
Depends on if they keep that hinge, that 360 hinge thing going on.
Which it was a cool, great hinge design.
Yeah.
And they made a big deal about it, as every hinge company does.
Of course.
Microsoft is good at hinges, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that was the one thing I loved about the Surface. I'm afraid I have to admit that entire time I had that stupid song in my head about how my phone don't jiggle.
It folds. I'd like to see you wiggle.
And let's go to break. I think we should go to break. Let's do a trivia and then go to break, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, trivia question. In honor of Ellis's question, we're bringing it back.
Oh, no.
Why would you do this to us?
What does Sony's TV brand Bravia stand for?
Oh no. I just learned this.
Is it an acronym?
It is an acronym.
A backronym?
It's a backronym, which is a word I learned researching this. So a backronym is an acronym you form in reverse, where you have the word and then you come up with something that it stands for.
Yes, that seems like what they did.
Oh, yeah, of course. Why did they come up with the word in the first place, though?
They just felt the need.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I'll think about it.
Oh, as we learned before, though, Bravia is the new branding of Trinitron.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think that'll help me figure it out, though.
The CRT people are screaming in the comments. No, yeah. Bravia is, if I understand correctly, when Sony fully was like, we're done with CRTs, we're only doing LCD panels now.
Yeah.
That was when Bravia came and Trinitron left.
Got you.
But there was a weird
walked out, never came back,
gray got some cigs. Area period. Where they're doing flat screen CRTs, and that was what Wega was.
Flat screen CRTs?
Yeah. Well,
interesting.
They were still pretty deep, but they weren't like a rounded bulb on the end. And that's the one that it kind of looks like Vega, but with two Vs, and Sony's always like, no, it's Wega. Say Wega.
So Sony's a history of weird names and pronunciations.
They predicted that we were going to be doing trivia in the future.
They knew. Like, they had to make it complex.
Come on, guys. How'd you not know that?
To not be an easy answer. All right. We'll think about it, and we'll come back. Be right back.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex.
startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Support for this show comes from NetSuite. Let's do some quick math. So the less your business spends on operations or multiple systems, the more margin you'll have, and that equals more money in your pocket. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, I mean, everything seems to cost more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. So NetSuite is a leading cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. And so you can reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. So you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. So head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform. netsuite.com/waveform. All right, welcome back. Let's talk cars for a second. I got a little bit to rewind about. So this week I tweeted about Hyundai. Mm. And I think Andrew and I have had like little partial segments of this conversation before on Waveform, where it's like we see a couple of new Hyundais on the street now, and we're like, they look good. Yeah. Like they look real nice. They're not afraid to play with the lights. They have very distinctive like daytime running lights, and I don't know, there's something about them. I'm very, very impressed. And Hyundai has a reputation already in the US, but I feel like they're on this little glow up.
Yeah.
Right. So I've had this little back of the head like Hyundai thing. And then they came out with the Ioniq 5. And a Super Bowl commercial, and like we all keep seeing Ioniq 5s on the street now. And this is now probably number one on my list of electric cars that I haven't driven yet that I see and want to try. Because mm-hmm. they're out there. Mm-hmm. People are driving them and they look pretty cool. So that's in the back of my head this whole time. Then we get this like concept. I think it's a concept. Yeah, concept Hyundai car. It's a two-door car. Hyundai makes this snazzy like promo reel and a photo shoot with them. So I guess it's renders and like a reel that they put together. But of the N-Vision 74, technically a hybrid EV, they'll say it'll combine hydrogen and pure battery. And it looks so sick. My take is it looks more like the DeLorean than the new DeLorean actually does.
Absolutely what I was thinking too, yeah.
Did you see these pictures?
Yeah.
I tweeted like, yeah, whoever's doing design for Hyundai, like keep
even
it
the
up.
Interior. I will say what's interesting is that I think a lot of manufacturers have been trying to figure out like, all right, we're electrifying our lineup now. Let's make it look futuristic. But a lot of the car manufacturers, when they try to do that, it ends up just looking really tacky.
Yeah.
And somehow Hyundai has like taken, like even this car has like this LED pixel array for its headlights.
And just the daytime running lights again, right. Like that, they're not afraid to mess with that.
Yeah. And then their angles too, like on the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, it's like, it's very like tetrahedral, but it actually looks good.
Dude, if I saw this car on the street, I would be like, what is that?
Yeah.
That is sick.
The electric hydrogen, mix is really interesting because hydrogen cars are really cool in concept because they only release water,
right?
Water vapor. And then obviously electric cars can store and charge more energy in our, or store more energy in our more efficient overall. But I mean, that's what do they mean by hybrid? Do they say what that means?
So if the more I read into this, it's clear it's very concept. Like they just say it's going to be a hybrid and have these two methods, but don't really explain too much of how that would work. Also, the way I understand it, so I'm just going to read the Motor1.com article. Technically, it's a hybrid EV, combines a hydrogen fuel cell with a battery to power a pair of electric motors. So the electric motors take power from both, one per wheel. Oh, sorry. One at each rear wheel, so it's just rear-wheel drive. Oh, my God. The result is a combined output of 671 horsepower, but with the individual motors at the back, Hyundai will explore various aspects of torque vectoring and an electric rear-wheel drive application. Hyundai also says a combination of hydrogen fuel cell with batteries allows for the cooler temperatures. So yeah. I guess...
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting idea, actually.
It makes sense.
Can you use the water vapor that is the... that is the result of a hydrogen to cool the battery?
I don't know. And I don't know if it'll be cool exhaust either.
Right.
So I'm not exactly
hot water
sure.
Vapor.
To me, it just feels like there's going to be two
vapor,
plugs.
Probably is hot.
Yeah. But there's going to be two plugs on the car. Now you have to plug in to give it hydrogen and plug in to give it electricity.
I wonder if it will be like a current hybrid electric where you can use all gas and you could technically use all battery if you wanted to, but it's only got like 50 miles of range, but you don't have to use both.
Yeah, so in the current plug-in hybrid world, you can have a gas tank and an electric motor, and the electric motors you can charge by a plug-in, or you can just use the regeneration from what the gas engine system is doing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's also an option with hydrogen electric. You only really add hydrogen, and the electric battery, however big it is, gets recharged as you drive.
Yeah.
And you can plug in if you want. Maybe that's how it is. Yeah. Either way, it's a concept car.
It looks like an 80s style.
It's all about the look.
Like Back to the Future. I immediately thought of Back to the Future when I saw this car. And like, I love this.
I want it. I want it to exist. Hyundai, if you're listening, this is prime.
Please bring.
Top end work right here.
Yeah.
All of the pictures. Also, I love that they decided to do the, because I'm pretty sure these are renders.
Yeah.
And I love that they decided to do renders in the rain. Of it, like, driving around, rear-wheel drive, like, kicking the tires out on a track in the rain, in the storm. Like, that is
even the wheels,
so sick.
Even the wheels have, like, this futuristic,
okay, the wheels,
like...
let's talk about the wheels for a second. Every new EV has to think about aero, right? And most of them have some sort of a version of aerodynamic wheels. Aero caps, aero hubs, whatever, something about the wheel. They just need to not have a normal... like five-spoke wheel, because that's very draggy. And most of them look pretty ugly.
Yeah.
You've seen the Model 3 and Model S's. I think it's ugly. Yeah. I took mine off. I don't like them. But this, it's just a disc. And I assume if you push this around, this is a 670 horsepower car on a track. You need ventilation for the brakes. So I don't see this staying on in an actual track scenario. But purely visually... I love it.
Is that ventilation, though?
So that's ventilation, but is that enough ventilation for a track day with maybe, like, steel brakes? Carbon ceramic brakes, maybe? I don't know. I don't know enough about, like, the logistics of making a car like this, but all I know is that's the best-looking aero cap I've ever seen.
It looks amazing.
It's just a plate.
Yeah.
Frisbee.
A lot of these car manufacturers try to like make their electric stack look futuristic and it ends up just looking tacky, but somehow Hyundai manages to make
Hyundai. Hyundai like Sunday.
Hyundai like Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. And then the wheel is actually like a racing wheel. It's like that Logitech racing wheel we have in the studio here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want this to exist.
This looks really cool.
If I saw this, I don't know if there's any sort of price talk, but if I saw this on the street, I would immediately be like,
I love the 80s, and I would straight up, like, I would trade in anything.
Yeah. This is a better done retro future car than the new DeLorean. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah. Which will probably not even ship. So.
Yeah. Well, this is a concept car too. So that's another question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the design. There is a second one. That is a slightly different look. Let me find the name, because this is also in the Motor One article. It is called the RN22E, based on the Ioniq 6, but it's a little more of like a sports car, normal EV two-door type thing. It still looks sick. It's got the big grille on the front. It's got the slot headlights. It definitely has Porsche vibes.
Yeah.
Porsche, which I like. I like Porsche.
I think I like the Ioniq 6 better than I like this car.
better than this R22.
Yeah, is that a hot take?
Well, the Ioniq 6 is going to be real, and this is
definitely a benefit.
This is a concept, so I'm happy with both. I actually like this one better.
I need to see the back of this car.
Of this RN22E?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Oh.
This is the back.
Ooh, that's...
It looks like a... Nice. It looks kind of like an AMG with the wing.
I think I still like the Ioniq 6 better.
Yeah. Which Ioniq 6 is nice.
I'll take it.
Talk about a glow up. I am very impressed.
I saw somebody, we'll have to find it and maybe we can put it in the show notes, but I saw someone post like a history of Hyundai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hyundai like Sunday. Hyundai, and it was like the generations, like every 10 years, their design. And they actually do that kind of like textile design way back until like the 70s or 60s or something. Mm-hmm. And then before that, they're pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they look like cheap cars for a while and then eventually they start looking pretty good. And I've never even given them like a second thought until their EV lineup started to come out.
I think that's key. So a lot of these companies, underrated, they have an opportunity to basically completely rebrand where they sit in the market with the first EVs that they make.
Right.
And so Hyundai is such a good example because we have... At least in the US, we have a reputation that we assign to Hyundai, which is these are $20,000 to $35,000 mid-range, budget, affordable, economy cars. And that's kind of all we think about them.
Yeah.
The second the Ioniq 5 started showing up, I was like, okay, that's different.
Yeah.
That is a like sort of futuristic, practical, cool EV.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything they've come out with since then, I kind of look at in this new light. So everything electric that they do can fall under that new umbrella, even though it's still Hyundai. And that's a huge opportunity. I don't know if the legacy car manufacturers with huge reputations in markets like the US think about it the same way, like Ford. They're just going to name it a Mustang, whatever, Mustang Mach-E, fine.
F-150 Lightning.
Right. But if you were looking for the opportunity to rebrand, like Hyundai might have been, and like maybe, what's another good example? Somebody who probably wants smaller ones. Alfa Romeo is not big here.
Kia
is having a sort of a renaissance.
Kia is having a little bit of a renaissance.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of underrated about like this new generation of things that we're seeing.
That's a good point. Especially in the US. Like I'm sure they have stronger pulls in their like native countries but I mean, like even I guess Toyota doesn't really need to do that. They haven't really done it. I'm kind of disappointed in Toyota so far because they only have like the BZ4X, which has gotten really bad reviews so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I'll be glad if there's a lot more good options on the market because for a while it was like, I would like to see Honda do this too. Has Honda done anything?
Electric? I haven't seen much. I was just behind a Honda.
That's a little depressing.
I was behind a Honda Ridgeline pickup truck today on the way to the studio. And I was so like, bad. I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Those look so weird.
I think also Toyota has a bunch of like stuff on the horizon. We've talked about like that mystery lineup where they showed a bunch of like... Oh, yeah, this is a Supra, but electric, but also 10 years in the future.
It feels like they're giving up their lead, though, because, like, the default, like, affordable, pretty good car was, like, the Camry and then the Honda Accord. And I feel like neither of those companies, they're kind of letting these other companies eat their market share.
They're definitely sitting on those, and they'll still sell for a while.
Yeah.
But at some point... Because there's also a huge price factor.
Totally.
When Hyundai goes from like their economy roots to like the Ioniq 4, Ioniq 5, Ioniq 6, like those are 45 plus, like they're a different price bracket.
True.
So you change your reputation, you get to change your price. I think it's really, really hard to make a good EV at that price right now. So supply chain issues, battery tech, like that stuff may change over time. And maybe someday we'll get a good $20,000 EV.
Right.
But since it doesn't exist yet, I guess it's mandatory to change your reputation if you want to sell it at a different price.
A Camry at 20K is really good, but like an EV at 20K is not going to be the...
Like a 20K EV today...
Does that exist?
...would probably not be good.
Exists.
With the current tech, it would be like a half the battery size. It would just not be good.
Yeah.
So
one thing I will say about Toyota is that they've been saying for a while now that they're putting all of their eggs in this solid state battery. It's like a new battery that they want to replace lithium ion batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying they're going to start rolling out vehicles with that in it. They say mid-decade.
Sure.
So it's hopefully they're...
Horizon.
Yeah, they're going to start punching big with the EVs, but we will have to see.
Oh, man.
I that's one of those things that could either turn out to be like a facepalm statement or like a told you so.
Yeah.
It could be a great, like Tesla's lead right now in EVs is so dramatic because it's they've ridiculous. Just been cranking. Their gigafactories, like they're all in on lithium ion battery production and just doing what they're doing. So Toyota coming in 10, 12 years later being like, actually, we've been working on this thing. Either it's better or it's, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Isn't the new Tesla battery solid state, though? Or am I crazy?
No, they've just been working on, like, the 4680 cells you're talking about. Yeah, they're still lithium ion, but they're they're more compact and they're closer together and there's less gaps between cells. And there's a whole bunch of things that are better at them.
You charge them to 100%.
Energy density and overall tech is better in the 4680 cells.
Right.
But I don't think they are a new, entirely new technology.
Okay, gotcha.
But that's, you know, Tesla's constant. They're a battery company, basically, like a tech and battery company.
AI and battery company.
So they're getting better at that. But yeah, anyway, thanks. Yeah. Shout out to Inspiration for Hyundai. That I still need to try an Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6. We're going to get there.
Speaking of cars.
Yeah. Oh, there's another car thing on. Do we want to talk about this? That's BMW. We should briefly get into this.
Yeah, briefly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to read the headline then.
Yeah. Okay.
IGN.com. Some BMW car features can only be unlocked with microtransactions. Subheadline, heated seat DLC. Now, when I first read this, I don't think this is the first time I've heard this, like heated seats as a subscription. I actually just ran out on my car of the free trial of the connectivity package. It's $10 a month.
Same, yeah.
And so when I renewed it, I paid the $10 to get another month, and I was just reading what I got. And navigation is one of the things you don't get if you don't pay for
it. What does that mean?
Meaning, I guess
I don't pay for it, and I get navigation.
You don't?
I don't pay for it.
It was in. I mean, this is what the app. This is what the app told me. Hold on, let me pull up the app and see what I'm getting. But I am paying a subscription for some of the features of my car, is the point.
Yeah.
And that's not a new idea, but it is kind of annoying that some of the most like basic hardware features are still going to end up being...
Yeah, because my maps still work. Actually, Tesla has lied to me twice because I am that old guy who hasn't updated my software since like a year ago because I don't like the new UI. So
yeah. Oh, right. And so you didn't upgrade?
Every single time I park my car, I have to hit cancel on the update.
So what's happening now?
Nothing. They told me that in March, my navigation would stop working. Never stopped working. I kept getting all these notifications being like, if you don't update it by this specific day, your car is going to start having problems. Never had any problems. I don't know. I feel like it's all fake. But like, yeah, they said like your maps will stop working. They said there was some update to like, because I think they use AT&T for their map data or something. They said there was some change where an old thing was going to be turned off and the update was important because of that. But like nothing is different. I can still route. I can still do everything. The only thing I cannot do is like stream through the Spotify app on the car's dashboard. But I would rather just use my phone's Bluetooth anyway most of the time.
I do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. But think about it though. When the hardware is there to do something and it's specifically, it costs extra to put it in the car and it's not enabled on your car, but it is enabled on somebody else's car, that feels weird.
Yeah.
Like the seat heater thing or a heated steering wheel, for example, just doesn't, like, the fact that it's there and you can't use it unless you pay seems crazy.
I think from a scale perspective, when you're trying to make a ton of cars, it actually makes sense for you to just make a ton of cars and then eventually sell them versus making them to order.
Right.
Where you have to like put specific features in and the SKU is different and then it's very specific. You can just make a ton of cars and then have everything off by default and then you can turn it on if you pay. I don't like the fact that you pay monthly. I feel like putting the hardware in and then saying, like, you can pay $200 if you want it enabled, sure, whatever. But turning everything into a subscription service is, like, a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's now already a question of how far can we push this? Like, how much can we turn into recurring revenue?
Right.
I know, I'm just going to go to the extreme. Imagine your car has, like, 18-way power moving memory seats or whatever, and can't use any of that unless you pay per month. It's like, why? What? That seems crazy. And they're going to find where that line is, what people are willing to pay for and not willing to pay for, and they're going to get
right up to it. They'll cross the line. They'll cross the line.
Somebody's going
to
cross
the line. Someone was making a joke of like, oh no, I forgot to renew my Brink subscription.
Yeah, see? That's obviously over the line, but like, where? The gray area in there somewhere.
Yeah. It's interesting because like the just-on-time manufacturing that Toyota actually like pioneered way back in the day that Tesla uses makes sense. Like, make the car to spec and only make it when they order it so that everything is efficient. But at the same time, there's the other angle of if you have so much demand, you might as well make every car exactly the same so you can move the production way faster.
And tailor it with software after the fact.
And there's probably a line where adding the hardware in, but being able to make more cars makes it cheaper for them than not adding the hardware in certain cars.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That is very fair. Yeah, but the mental games are definitely going to be interesting. Yeah. I found the list of what Tesla enables with what I pay $10 a month for.
Okay.
So navigation is included. All of the rest of this stuff is not, unless you pay. Live traffic visualization, satellite maps, Sentry mode, video streaming.
My Sentry mode still works.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't.
Maybe it's because I don't have like a free trial still going or something.
No, my trial ended in March. Maybe it's because I didn't update the car.
Yeah, it doesn't know the free trial is over. It's just like I'm just gonna keep doing my thing until I'm connected to the internet.
I'm down.
Internet browser? Does your browser still work?
I've not tried that.
Haven't tried it.
Probably not.
Music streaming is the other thing.
Why would you use a browser on your car?
I never do it. Yeah. I literally just use my phone for everything and connect to Bluetooth, and it's way better.
Yeah.
But interesting.
What was the other thing? Is that it?
Karaoke. Karaoke and video streaming, so the Netflix and Hulu apps and stuff.
Yeah, I charge in my garage, I guess, if I was like charging for half an hour
if you're supercharging.
But I could also just watch on my phone or my laptop.
That's what I would do.
I don't know. I feel like $10 a month is kind of steep for what they're offering, but
we'll see what people pay for. BMW will find out where that line is.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back. We got to talk about Pixel 6a.
Yeah.
But first, a second trivia question.
All right. So we talk about RCS from time to time. What does SMS stand for?
I already know this.
I do too.
Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah.
We know it both. RCS and SMS.
Yeah. We made a whole video on this.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
Count it. It's in the bank. Be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you got to do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So, 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password, and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier, so I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform. All right, welcome back. We got another gadget. Last thing we want to talk about, Pixel 6a.
Yep.
The review is out. The phone is out there and you can choose to get one. And I have a hot take about it, but I'm going to wait till the end to give you that.
Spicy.
Okay. So let's just go over the phone itself. We already knew about Pixel 6 Pro. We already knew about Pixel 6. Pixel 6a is the budget version in Google's lineup. It's $449 this year, $449 US. Yep. And for that price, you get the same Tensor chip and then cheaper things around it.
Yep.
Those cheaper things being a flat 1080p 60 hertz display. I think it's only one spec, 128 gigs of storage and 6 gigs of RAM.
Correct, yeah. With the A-series now.
It's about a 4,400 milliamp hour battery, which is pretty good. And dual cameras, and they are not the same as the new Pixel 6 and 6 Pro cameras.
Right.
It's an old 12 megapixel camera and an ultra wide. They took away the headphone jack. The yep. Pixel 5a had a headphone jack. The yep. 6a does not have a headphone jack. And they do not have wireless charging. So those yeah. are two things to note. Some people might not care about those things. I can already see the comments because at this point as we record this, I haven't finished the review yet, but I can already tell that when this comes out, there will be comments in the review video saying, I don't really care. Why do you guys care so much about wireless charging? It's not a big deal if you don't have it. Totally fair. But if you do have wireless charging now, then you're going to not like yeah, losing wireless charging.
Definitely.
So there's that. And that's pretty much it. It has the slower in-screen fingerprint reader that the 6 Pro also has, which kind of annoyed me. Did you like the design? It kind of looks like the other Pixels.
I like the design. I like that it's more compact. 6.1 inches is still pretty big. I loved Pixel 5. Yeah. I love Pixel 4a. I think 449, they put the Pixel 5a at 449 as well, and Pixel 4a was 349. Which is just
way
so good. And yeah. Pixel 4a was such an amazing phone with an amazing screen. And so when you move it up $100, there's a lot that you can get in the competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cameras.
Yeah.
So they added new cameras in the Pixel 6, Pixel 6 Pro. Mm-hmm. They didn't really do anything with those new cameras.
Yeah.
That was the worst part about it, is like they added this huge 50 megapixel sensor that they were binning on. And we were hoping like, oh, they've been using the same sensor for like 4 or 5 years now. They've literally used it for like 5 years.
Pixel 3, Pixel 4, Pixel 4.
Start on 2.
Pixel 2, Pixel 5, yeah.
Yeah, 2 yeah. through 5 was the exact same sensor. So they were getting a new sensor. We're like, it's going to be way better. Had a little bit more depth of field, but the processing, exactly the same. Yeah. So that said, if they're not going to make it better besides the processing, or besides like a little bit more depth of field and maybe a little bit better low light performance, then whatever.
Yeah.
It's still one of the best cameras you can get at that price point.
That's where I landed. So on one hand, I've seen a lot of this particular Sony sensor and a lot of new phones we've tested. The Nothing phone has the same camera sensor as the ROG Phone 6, which has the same camera sensor as the Nord 2T, which is the same camera sensor as like another phone we just tested.
Yeah.
And it's like a B plus sometimes camera.
Yeah.
Doesn't really freeze motion very well. It's kind of noisy at night, but it's fine. And so when I hear on paper that the Pixel 6a has a worse camera, an older, lower spec camera than the other 6 and 6 Pro, I think the natural instinct is, oh, darn, it's not going to be as good. But it turns out it's the same sensor that they've been using for many, many years, and they've got that pipeline yeah. down pat, and the Tensor chip is super fast. It is one of the best cameras in any budget phone. Yeah. I went around, took photos with it, took videos with it, and I was very happy with it, much more than a lot of flagships these days. The yeah. ROG phone can't hold a candle in the camera department to the Pixel 6a.
Yeah.
So that was worth noting. My big qualm with this phone is it's a Pixel, and lately, we don't know how well these phones age.
Right.
Right? They've had some really odd performance issues and bugs and things have come up with Pixels.
Yeah.
And as of right now, 60 hertz is one of those things where you either don't care at all or it is a bit of a turnoff in buying a phone. Because mm-hmm. you can get 120 hertz in a budget phone mm-hmm. pretty easily today.
Mm-hmm. Even though Nothing phone has...
The Nothing phone, the
hertz.
A53... Some Poco phones, yeah. like a lot of phones in $300 to $400 to $500 have 120 hertz displays.
Yeah.
And I can also already read the comments of people going, I can't even tell the difference. Like, who cares? But this is okay. You know how the iPhone SE and the iPhones are like some of the smoothest 60 hertz phones?
Yeah.
This is one of the jankiest 60 hertz phones. it is constantly, I feel like I shouldn't, it's 60 hertz. I shouldn't see dropped frames and choppy animations.
Yeah.
And I already do on day one. And we know how pixels age. That's not a good start for me. So like the Tensor chip is powerful enough that it launches apps quickly.
Yeah.
Like when I hit the camera button, it opens the camera quickly. When I open a new app and like swipe over, the things load quickly. But when I'm scrolling in the web browser and when I'm like moving, scrolling the notification shade and moving between apps,
yeah.
and the fact that I can like feel that it's definitely not high refresh rate,
yeah,
it doesn't bother me so much now as much as I know it's going to not be as good in the future.
I mean, that's like memory versus processing, right? And that was the weird thing about the Pixel 6 series was that I was reviewing the 6, you were reviewing the Pro, and neither of us had almost any issues in the first 2 weeks. And then over time, it just got glitchier and jankier and glitchier and jankier. And so, yeah, it's kind of sad. I feel like the mid-ranged Pixels, surprisingly, with like the mid-range Qualcomm chips have been the most stable. So the Pixel 5, really stable. Pixel 4a, really stable. But every time they make a high-end Pixel, it ends up being janky. But now, the problem with this is technically mid, quote-unquote mid-range, but it's got a Tensor chip. So it's using the same processor.
Yeah.
That could be a bad thing because it is smaller with a smaller battery, and the battery life we got kind of middle of the road, not amazing battery life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe 60 hertz will help it.
It's been okay for me. It's another thing where like I do have a wireless charger in my car and at my desk, and like
not being able to
with
use
some
that.
Phones, it's fine. If you don't have great battery life, you can just like casually leave it on the wireless charger. But yeah, no, that it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get the true Material U experience, this is like the cheapest way to do it technically. But I think for like Prime Day, the Pixel 6 was like $100 off, which only makes that $50 more than this phone. So if you want 90 hertz wireless charging, everything the Pixel 6 does, there's that. I do like this phone feels very dense, which is kind of a nice feeling. It feels denser than like the Nothing phone.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. We're like holding them side by side and like the premium feel, I'm doing air quotes, the like premium feeling phone was actually the Pixel 6a because you're holding metal and glass, but also it's like a little bit more compact and heavier. And you're like, oh, this density feels good.
Yeah.
But are you ready for my hot take?
I'm ready.
If you give the Nothing phone the Pixel 6a's camera, it is the best budget phone in the world.
Yeah.
I think that's a hot take.
I think that the only pushback you're going to get on that is the people that want a budget phone that can play games at a high frame rate.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I think it's a hot take.
Because there's like the other phones that have flagship processors that are around the same price.
Definitely. So in like the normal everyday day-to-day use, I think that would hold up pretty strong.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as you get to like comparing it with the ones that did put a Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 in there or even the iPhone SE, the ones that have powerful chips that can play games for a while, then you'll see the difference. But the Nothing phone is actually smoother than my Pixel 6 Pro.
Yeah.
Whatever they did with the optimization, and I guess it's probably a lot of the same team that worked for OnePlus, very smooth, very different from the Pixel.
Material U is just kind of glitchy. I think that's the problem. Like, we even talked about how the Nothing phone is almost very like stock-ish and Pixel-like. It feels like an older Pixel that didn't have Material U and was very just like, this is Android.
It has a lot of Material U stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they've got like the notification shade is the color of your wallpaper and all that stuff. It's just they don't have the weird widgets and that kind of funky stuff.
They have their own dot pattern.
Dot matrix stuff.
Yeah.
With like one or two apps that feels not finished. I don't know.
NFT widget.
Oh, God.
And flashing lights on the back.
And a fake Tesla widget that doesn't do anything.
It doesn't work.
I don't know. So $449. I guess if you want the best mid-range camera, there's that. And then if you want a Pixel, which, I mean, people were complaining that apparently the Nothing phone, because it's using the Snapdragon
778G+,
that chipset is only going to be supported by Qualcomm through Android 14.
Right.
Which means the Pixel, and the Pixels always get at least 3 full years of software updates. So this, I'm assuming, launched with Android 11. So it'll get 12, 13, and 14.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And then the Nothing phone will probably only get... Sorry, I meant... I think the Nothing phone's only going to get Android... Wait, we're not on 11. Jesus. This is hard. Okay, we're on Android 12.
Yeah, Nothing phone is Android 12.
13 is in beta right now. Nothing Phone, I think, and I need to double check this, Qualcomm is only officially supporting that chip through Android 13. Whereas the Pixel will go through Android 14 and probably 15.
12, 13, and 14 at least.
Okay. We're already on 12, so it'll go through 15.
So that's going to be a notable difference in like 2 to 3 years when the Nothing Phone maybe stops getting updates.
Yeah, it'll get security updates because Carl said three years of security, but if you want full Android
OS updates.
Right.
Got it. Yeah.
However, the Nothing Phone's bootloader can be insanely easily unlocked. You can flash Lineage OS or something on there if you want.
It's going to be up to the people. Like this is it's also around the same price. Around the same price.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if you value, so here's who I'd recommend gets a Pixel 6a. You are coming from an older or another budget phone that's also 60 hertz, so you're not going to mind 60 hertz again. And you want Google smarts and features.
Yeah.
And or a really good camera.
The voice, the instant tensors, like instant voice recognition.
Voice to text is amazing.
It's amazing.
Like the recorder app, speech to text and texting people, everything about that is amazing. Mm-hmm. Better than the iPhone SE would be at that price. And the camera, you get an ultra wide that the iPhone SE doesn't have, and you're just going to miss out on like really, really high end, top end performance because obviously, you know, this chip Tensor doesn't really have the ultra high end performance, and we'll see how it ages. Shrug. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's a higher performing chip than the 778G Plus.
It is.
I don't know.
But if you can't feel it,
it's a lot of,
is it? If you can't feel it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. With the, yeah, true. If it's 60 hertz, it's like if you're rendering a game at 80 FPS, but you're on a 60 hertz screen, then why does it matter?
Exactly. Yeah. If you have the phone with 120 hertz screen, but it can only get up to 90, it's still going to feel better than the phone that's locked at 60.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's Pixel 6a. Yeah. The review should also be up by the time this podcast goes live. So check that video out if you haven't seen it already. But I think that is about it for this week. Has some gadgets, has some cars. That's about right. I think it's only right that we end with some trivia.
All right.
And that is it.
Let's do it.
Trivia answers. So the first question.
Oh, this one I didn't.
I forgot to think about it.
Yeah, I don't think I knew this
one. It's Bravia.
Oh, it's Bravia, right?
Yeah. What does Sony's TV brand Bravia stand for?
Okay, you want to go first.
Okay, so I definitely recently learned this because I was on a Sony briefing and they said what it meant.
Yeah, I think
I could not believe that that's what it meant.
I think that was the same thing for me. But also, real quick, can you both close your laptops to ensure no cheating?
Sure. But I'm writing it
too
down.
Too late. Thank you.
I'm not cheating.
It's definitely like, let's see, BR. It's definitely like entertainment services. There's no E in Bravia. Bravia? Video.
There's no I in we.
Video. It's some
from
like,
what I remember, it's like it's not a cohesive like sentence. It's just a bunch of words.
I think it's a phrase with an and in the middle. I think the A stands for and. Can I submit that?
Is that your final answer?
It's a 50th of a point.
That the A stands for and?
That the A stands for and?
The speed at which you went to the button makes me assume that I'm wrong, so I'm going to not lock that in yet.
All right.
BR.
Okay, so I think it's like brilliant.
Brilliant. A.
Oh.
Already got points. <points. laughs>
Beautiful. Wow.
BR. Is it so... Is each letter in Bravia a new word, or did they combine some of them? They combine some,
no,
right?
No, it's a new word.
Everyone is a new word. Bravia. That's a lot.
Yep.
Is V video?
Okay. Are you kidding me?
is I...
is O OLED? Wait, there's no O.
There's no O.
Wait,
there's no O in Bravia. Bravia.
I wrote down...
Brovia.
Brovia. You wrote Brovia? Oh, no. So, video.
Rendering?
Audio video. Is
real.
A, is
real,
A
realistic?
Audio? A, okay. A is audio. What is V B? Is video.
What is the B?
B.
Boled.
Brilliant? Bright?
It's not bright.
Bright. Bright. B-R. R. Audio video.
No one's getting any points.
No one's gonna get this. Yeah, this is. You might as well just tell us.
All right.
Is the and the instant for and?
Best resolution audio video integrated architecture. Bravia.
Best resolution.
Best resolution.
Wow. Best resolution.
trivia question brought to you by Ellis.
Oh, that's a
man.
That, wow. They're just saying all the time that they are the best. No,
that
matter
is
what.
A yep. really bad backronym.
I would argue it's the best backronym.
They had no reason to go, guys, you know what Bravia should stand for? Best resolution. Audio.
Wait, so
video.
Why did they make the word Bravia? They just thought it sounded cool.
Yeah, it was just a cool word.
They were like, we have the best resolution audio video integrated architecture. What can we name it? And they were like, what if we just take all the letters?
Best resolution audio doesn't mean as much to me as video. Because yeah, is there also, like an audio component of Bravia TV?
Bravia is the only TV.
That's a great question.
I feel like it's just like
I would
the
assume
TV.
So based on a name, because maybe it's audio video integrated architecture.
Integrated.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's 0 points for both of us on that one.
I mean, cool. We could have guessed it'd be something weird because it's Sony, but
yeah. Well, that was something weird.
Yeah. So
for sure.
What is all the right. model name of the third Bravia TV?
No chance.
1976.
Next question.
We both know this one.
Yeah. Do you want to say at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sure. We about RCS from time to time, but what does SMS stand
for? Can you guys count down and then we'll
say
it?
3, 2.
Wait. Is it on go or is it after go?
It's rock, paper, scissors says go. It's always on go.
It's on go?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go?
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Short messaging service.
Why did you say that first? I was waiting for after go. Short messaging service.
He said it was on go.
Well, you can't say it as he's saying go, so I waited right after go. But also, RCS... Rich communication service.
Wait, were you going to say short or were you going to say simple?
I was going to say short. But also, RCS, SMS, is there other stuff?
There's MMS.
Oh, multimedia messaging service. Is there other stuff? That's kind of it.
And then there's iMessage.
So the final score. Marquez has 3. Andrew has 2 from last time.
Oh, yeah.
And David now has 2 because we gave you a point from last time when you helped out Andrew.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah.
Remember last time when Andrew didn't even give me a chance and then he got it wrong? Last week.
Oh, because we're doing this thing now where whoever has less points starts, they answer first, right? So if next time we're on, whoever has less points gets to answer first. And if then they don't get it, then the person after who's winning can steal.
We're working on a better way to do this.
Yeah, it's a whole
for
format
now, that's
of thing.
How we'll do it.
Oh, we'll get there.
And Andrew told us to say about the Hyundai car. I forgot to say this. Mm-hmm. He told us that in his absence, he wanted to say that car fucks.
Nice. We'll put that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You can just use the thing or whatever it is.
And that'll be it.
That'll be it.
Amazing. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for talking about hanging out and talking about gadgets with us. And we'll see you guys in a week.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Robin. We are part of the Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music is by Vane Sill.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.